All righty, welcome back to another Wisco Fanatics Tuesday evening. Today we are on part two of our draft series. Tonight we are doing the offensive line. Again, we've had this conversation before. It's not a sexy position group to talk about, but it's an absolutely necessary one that we will do every year of our draft prep because it's such an important position for running the ball, protecting the quarterback. So we're going to talk about centers, guards, and tackles today. So we're going to hit the intro and we'll get going.
Welcome to another live episode of the Wisco Fanatics Show, where we discuss the Packers, Bucks, Brewers, Badgers football, and basketball from an optimistic perspective. Wisco Fanatics is brought to you by Cardboard Legacy, Wisconsin's most complete sports card shop. Buy, sell, grade, and consign all at their location in Oshkosh.
Alrighty, so if you missed it, last Tuesday we talked about wide receivers. So if you're interested in our wide receiver rankings, definitely go check that out. And also if you go and check on our Facebook or Instagram pages, you can see each of our individual top 10s and then our consensus top 10 rankings for wide receivers. This week we have offensive line. Next week is going to be linebackers. And then after that we have edge and so on and so forth. But today, offensive line, and we are going to go inside out. So we're going to start with centers. And we'll start with only doing five centers because we're only one position to play with center. There's no left and right. So starting with centers, Simon went first last week. So, Bryant, I'll have you go first this week. Give me your number five center.
Yeah, my number five center is Clay Webb.
All right. Simon, who's your number five center?
Jake Majors.
Jake, who's your number five center?
Damn, you have him low.
Is that a surprise?
Yeah, for me.
No, okay. No.
James, you got yourself muted.
Not fucking bad, dude.
Sorry. I have Jonah Monheim as my number five center.
Okay, that's low for me.
Okay. Really? Yeah, I took him off my list.
He's top five. He's top five.
Number five is where I have Drew Kendall. Now, the Packers, we don't know exactly what they're going to do at center.
Don't steal my thunder here, Tyler.
What's that?
Don't steal my thunder here.
Don't steal your thunder?
Yeah.
You have thoughts on what they're going to do at center?
No, I have thoughts on Drew Kendall.
Okay. Oh, no.
Yeah. I'm not waxing gibbous about Drew Kendall. I was just talking about the state of the the room as a whole as far as the offensive line is concerned. So at center, could be just Elgton Jenkins moving over. They could be drafting somebody to potentially fill that role next year. But as the state of the offensive line goes, center – may not be a super big need, but we're going to talk about them anyways. So we'll go through again. Bryant, who's your number four center?
That's where I do have Drew Kendall.
So, okay.
Reason I kind of chose him is he has familiarity with Jeff Hafley. Who knows him? I know that's a different side of the ball. But the reason I put him is, let's be honest, a lot of centers don't go all that high. He'd probably be a mid-round pick. If they were going to take a center, this could be someone they would maybe look at because of his Boston College ties, and Jeff Hafley knows him. So Drew Kendall out of Boston College, he's 6'4", 308 pounds. More importantly, he's not out of Ohio State. but so he's not an athletic freak or anything like that, but he comes from NFL bloodlines. And the important thing is he knows how to play. When you think about this center position, it's like a captain on the offensive line. They're doing a lot of, you know, calling out plays, calling out blitzes and stunts and all that. So it's really important. For me, in my opinion, I would rather have someone that's knowledgeable and be able to put you in the right position than to have someone that's just an athletic freak. Think about, you know, Peyton Manning was never an athletic freak, but he could just call everything out. Same with Tom Brady, right? So because of his lack of, like, you know, exceptional athleticism, let me say this too. Anyone that's good enough to play in the NFL is an athlete. I'm not saying he's not an athlete. He would kill me if.
I mean, what about Restrepo? He's an athlete. Restrepo.
That Tyler's crushed. he knows how to win with his feet. So he wins with his feet, his hands, and his understanding of the game. Strong grip and ability to sustain blocks once he does get his hands on you. He played with Hafley, so there's familiarity, and he will get beat by longer, faster defensive linemen that can just push him away from him and beat him that way. So there's an issue with that. Also, the only other reason why I could, you know, I can only think of one other time and recently that we did this, and that was with Jake Hansen. Is Drew Kendall, like, I think Hansen ended up playing some guard, but Drew Kendall is strictly has only played center. Like, he is a center. So if you're drafting him, he is a center. So that's where maybe he's off the Packers radar because of versatility. But like a late round flyer on him, I don't think it would hurt.
Yeah. No, the only thing I was going to say about Restrepo is it just means we can get him around later now.
In undrafted free agency? There's no way the Packers are going to
draft the case. I would definitely take him.
But yeah, for sure. But there's no, like, with that Raz score, it's not happening.
Yeah, Goot's not even going to sniff in his direction. Like, there's just no way.
Maybe seventh round pick. Simon, who is your number four center?
I also had Drew Kendall, number four.
All right. Jake, number four?
I have Cooper Mays.
How dare you? Number four is where I have Jake Majors. Interesting. All right, Bryant, number three.
Seth McLaughlin. And we better not freaking draft him. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I'm not interested in
you. Overall Iowa State centers.
He played most of his career at Alabama.
Yeah, he did.
Simon, who's your number three?
Yeah, it's Seth McLaughlin. And I will say this dude, like you kind of just said, he played over 1,800 snaps in Alabama before he transferred over to Ohio State. Excuse me. Last year he allowed 700. Holy crap! Seven total pressures.
700 pressures would be a lot.
Yeah, 700 pressures. Draft him now. Seven total pressures and zero sacks last year, and 290 pass blocking snaps. I think he does a good job of being, like, he has a good sense of where he's supposed to be at all given times. He has some decent athleticism, nothing like mind blowing though, but I think that allows him to fit many different types of schemes that coaches run, and he creates some good angles in the run game. Some downsides, he tore his Achilles late last year. Maybe we can get him a couple rounds later. So that, undrafted. That puts his 2025 season a little bit in doubt.
When did he tear it?
In November. It was before the playoffs.
Okay.
So he only ended up playing 10 games last year. He struggles with snaps sometimes and has a tendency to lunge forward, which can make him off balance. So he's not going to be able to get away with that in the NFL.
Yeah. Jake, who is your number three?
I also have Seth McLaughlin. I'm just going to say my favorite part about him is he was really good at reach block. So I think he'd be better fit for like a zone blocking scheme. So Green Bay, you know, McVay, Minnesota, he'd be good in those kind of schemes.
I like it. Number three is where I have Jonah Monheim. Mm-hmm. Bryant, who is your number two?
My number two is Jared Wilson.
I also have Jared Wilson, number two. Simon, number two?
I have Jonah Monheim, number two.
Jake, who's your number two?
That's where I have Jared Wilson. That's my center. He had 71 pancake blocks in his high school career. I have to love it because that's amazing for a center. You got to think of all the zero techs that are lining up over you, and to get 71 pancakes as a center is outstanding. He also didn't give up a single sack his junior year. I played for a pretty big-time school down south. When I was watching him, I was like, dude, this guy is so laterally quick for a 300-pound man. Like, he moves like a tight end almost with his feet. He uses that and his impressive acceleration to get up to the second level. He's very good at understanding when to get off the double team to move up to the second level to wall off the linebackers. He's fluid with guards, and he has vice grip like strength. He just really is a monster up front for Georgia the last couple of years, and a big part of why Georgia was so dominant the last couple of years, sitting on top of the SEC.
So when I do research on offensive line, what I write down is how many pass blocking snaps they had, and then how many pressures they gave up, and then I divide the pressures by the pass blocking snaps to show like the pressure rate that they give up. Jared Wilson's is 1.2%.
That's pretty good.
Allowed six pressures and 511 pass blocks. So that'll play. Bryant, who is your number one center?
That's where I have Jake Majors.
Interesting, interesting range of ranks there. Simon, who's your number one?
Yeah, I had Jared Wilson as my number one.
Jake, number one?
I have Jake Majors.
All right. Number one is where I have Cooper Mays. Ooh. So Cooper Mays, 6'4", 310. He had 460 pass blocks, allowed 10 pressures. It's a 2.2 pressure rate. That's not bad at all. 2,921 career snaps. Yeah. All of them at center. So when you talk about wanting an experienced guy who can call out opposing teams, defensive line alignments and stuff like that, I think Cooper Mays would have a good feel for that. Only had four penalties in 2024. He's a good extension. He's fast and athletic for the screen game. It makes him a good puller. Gets a really good push in the run game. He gets to the second level easily, and he can anchor well as well. So I think he would be a good balance of being able to be versatile in the run game as well as hold his own in the passing game.
I think I left him just off my list.
Yeah, he was six on right there with Clay Webb.
Gotcha. Alrighty, you guys ready to do guards? We're going inside out. So moving one step over, let's go to guards. Now we did 10 guards and 10 tackles since there's two of them on the field at all times. So Bryant, who is your number 10 guard?
Yeah, and it's my first guy. That's where I have Tyler Cooper of Minnesota. He's a big guy for a guard. He's 6'6", 310 pounds. Minnesota runs a pretty strong power run game. I'm sure you guys have seen that out of Wisconsin when you guys played them.
Yep.
They run the hell out of the ball, and he helped lead that, you know. So he's a starter the last couple of years. He did have a couple – has some brief, nothing crazy injuries, but he did miss a few games each year. So you have that to watch for. But he has that superior length for the position. He uses it well. So basically what he's doing is, you know, he makes first contact. So if he can make first contact, he can, you know, either get that first grip or keep people away from him or, you know, get that in that, you know, in the block him right away and get him out of the way. Words are hard for me today. He's mentally mentally strong. He definitely recognizes stunts and twists and stuff like that. He's a nasty blocker in the run game. It's like if he knows they're running, he gets off faster and he gets his hands on him and is ready to run somebody over. However, he will struggle a little bit, and I think this is where he's because of how tall he is, but he's still relatively light. I know 310 pounds isn't light, but for that frame in the NFL, it is a little light. So he struggles a little bit with more powerful defenders, especially if they get into his chest, then he has a tendency to play high. So I think the main thing he would need to focus on is, you know, adding strength and then just, you know, staying low. So that's kind of, you know, where I have him. Would be, once again, another, you know, mid-late flyer.
Simon, who's your number 10 guard?
I have Connor Kobe.
Jake, who's your number 10?
I got to say, Connor Kobe, when we talk about him, I know he's not one of my guys, but I fucking love that guy, dude. I would love a late-round flyer on him for the Packers. He looks like a Packer. Great mullet. Got to say that right now.
Oh, yeah. Is hell yeah.
Simon's like, I didn't even put that in my notes. Damn.
Sometimes guys have mullets, and I'm like, that looks like shit. Every once in a while, there's a mullet. I'm like, bro, he takes care of that mullet. That's a nice mullet, dude.
Who's that freaking the guy I used to hate? Hot Old Miss. He had a mullet. The hell was his name? I used to rag on him all the time, and I brain dumped him now. See, Newman.
Royce Newman.
He had a
Royce
mullet, too.
Trash mullet.
Isn't he from Wisconsin had a good mullet?
That's true.
Every time I see a mullet, I just like, that's a Green Bay pack.
Dude, every time, right?
He for sure drinks old Milwaukee.
That guy looks like he enjoys a Miller Lite.
Hell yeah.
Probably drinking on post game.
All right, we're going to focus up here, boys. Sorry about that.
That was a good deviation. We're good.
Nobody's going to agree with this, but I have Willie Lampkin as my number 10. He's my first guy. So I know that he's small, but he has a wrestling background, so he understands weight distribution, hand placement. He understands all that stuff, and that stuff matters to me. The offensive linemen who have wrestling background, they're usually the better ones, in my opinion.
Real quick, let me interject something.
Does he have a mullet?
With a name like Willie Lampkin, you'd expect him to, wouldn't you?
Mullet, dude. What's up?
With that size, on the other side of the ball, we did see something that was successful for us for a few years in Mike Neal, so with the wrestling background. So
yeah.
You never know.
That's fair. I wrote, he is very undersized, but don't let that fool you. With his wrestling background, he understands how to use leverage. He plays with a ton of heart, and he's very technique sound. He plays multiple positions. He's had starts at both guard positions and center. He obviously has great acceleration. He's not even 300 pounds. No, they haven't got rid of the tush push yet. Still working on that. He has great acceleration when pulling and setting up the next level. He does a nice job keeping his head on a swivel, looking for work when he is uncovered in the open field. And I just like his hand placement. He distributes his weight perfectly as well. So probably a long shot, not going to be a Packer. I just like him as a prospect.
Well, and with someone that small, they're definitely, you know, one of the things in winning along the line is staying low. He's already low, so he doesn't have to get
there. Yeah, like, 290 is pretty small, dude.
Not enough to get, like, punked. I feel like somebody's just going to grab him and go like this.
Yeah, right.
Think about it. The guy I just talked about is 7 inches taller and only 20 pounds heavier.
I know.
That's a lot of weight on that frame.
It's my number one guy.
Yeah.
I
did have him just off my list. He was my number 12. So
I really like
I don't think too. You're crazy for having him at 10.
That's fair.
I will say I did like watching him play. Mm-hmm. Like, he's definitely like, he's a try hard guy. I feel like you kind of have to be at that size. And yeah, he's still a good player, and some team will take a flyer on him. I don't think it's going to be Green Bay.
No, it's not going to be the best. I know that in my heart. It's fine. I'm okay with it.
My number 10 is Dylan Fairchild.
Okay.
Brent, who's your number 9?
Joshua Gray.
All right. Simon, number 9?
As we kind of get into our lists a little bit more, I will say I have a lot of, like, tackles converted to guards. Yeah, so some of what people might look at guards and be like, why do you have them like not on your list or whatever? Mm-hmm. It's because I moved a lot of the guys that did play tackle into my guard list. And you might see like tackles, it'd be like, oh, that's like a 7th round guy because I shoved so many guards down the list. The other thing too is like one of the things the Packers love to do is take these offensive tackles that played offensive tackle in college and move them inside. I don't remember the last time the Packers took a pure guard college prospect. Like it feels like it's been a while.
I think Sean Ryan
that was also not just a pure center.
Yeah.
Sean Ryan played some tackle. Yeah. I'm talking about a guy that's purely played a guard position. I don't remember the last time.
To be honest with you, I feel like guys that play guard are really more multi-positional nowadays. They do kick out to tackle more often than not nowadays.
I feel like a little center.
Yeah. To up their you know, draft value, the positional value, you have to play multiple positions nowadays. Yep. That's just how it works.
I think there's a lot of teams doing that, taking tackles and pushing him into guard too.
Yeah.
Like, think about Graham Barton last year, who we all really liked. He played phenomenal. We weren't sure what he was going to do.
Yeah,
I mean, I took from guard to center, right? I think he played – or did he play guard last year? I can't remember.
No, he played center for Tampa Bay, right?
Yeah.
And like
– we did with our offensive line too is instead of this year being like, okay, I have this guy as a guard and I have this guy as a tackle, kind of gave everybody free reign to put guys in both their guard and tackle lists if they so choose.
That means, dude. What a Sigma boy, man.
Go like this. Go like this.
If you had a 10 or between a 10 and 14,
I don't know what that means.
You're a real Sigma Rizzler, Simon.
Yeah, no. You're not. I'm so annoyed that that's even words that were just spoken.
I don't
spoken
know what that means,
podcast.
Dude.
Dick's
a skibbity toilet.
Oh, my God.
You guys lost me.
All right. Simon, who's your number 9 guard?
Jonah Savanea.
How dare you?
Right. No, that doesn't sound. I don't know. You may be right.
I said, how dare you, because of where you have him, not because of how you said his name.
Number 9?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, be like that.
That's why we do a consensus. Yep. Jake, who's your number 9?
Yeah, so I can shove everyone of your guys down the rankings.
Yeah, right? So you can pull everybody down. Yeah, I did that with the Texas wide receivers. So
yeah. So
I have Tyler Cooper, who, by the way, is born in Wisconsin originally. So we'll have a Wisconsin boy in the NFL soon.
Another one,
yeah. Which linebacker are you guys putting in that'll come on like 3 years down the road that'll turn out to be really good?
He's not going to be a linebacker. He's going to be a safety that plays kind of sub-package linebacker.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
He'll be a sub-package linebacker.
Yeah. But he'll go for one contract, become an NFL free agent, go sign somewhere, and be really good.
Yep. He's going to play all special teams for the first 3 years, and he's going to sign somewhere and be really good.
Next year's draft, maybe the guy would be maybe Christian Allegro.
Okay. Get that in early.
That dude getting on special teams a bunch, and then like in his third year being like, oh, well, we got an injury at linebacker, so you're in.
No. Yeah. He's good.
4 years from now, watch out for Tackett Curtis. Mm-hmm. All right. My number nine guard is Hayden Connor. Brian, who's your number eight?
Luke Kudra. I think I wrote that down wrong.
Kandra.
Luke Kandra. Kandra.
Sorry, my handwriting wasn't very good.
I like him. Simon, who's your number eight?
Marcus Embo.
All right. Jake, who's your number eight?
That's where I have Hayden Connor. I just have to say something. In high school, he had 49 pancake blocks in 9 games.
What the f- You got everybody stopped embodying people?
9 games, bro. His high school offensive line averaged 22.9 pancakes per game, bro.
Where are you getting high school
stuff? Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't go back to and watch your high school tape, dude.
In middle school, he had 14.
Tyler challenged me a couple of years ago where he was talking, I'm reading here, reading here, reading here. I'm like, oh, okay. Now it's like healthy competition. Now I'm going to read off of like 7 different websites.
You guys are going to be – he was born at this hospital in this city.
He was 27 inches.
He was bodying other kids.
I thought you guys would think that was way cooler.
Steve said IHOP is envious of all the pancakes. My number eight guard is Addison West. Small kid, Western Michigan. Grew up in a small town, raised in a small town.
Breastfed till he was 3. He's just a strong boy.
His middle school coaches couldn't say enough good things
about
him.
He's been eating bricks since he's been 7.
At spaghetti dinners in high school 2 days before game day, he would eat 3 plates of spaghetti.
He's eating over 500 grams of protein a day.
That might be accurate.
The sumo wrestler from The Replacements was loosely based on his life.
This is the actual analysis, by the way.
Seriously. So, Addison West, my number eight guard, is from Western Michigan. He's 6'3", 305, and I understand they might hear Western Michigan and be like, oh, yeah, they're churning out NFL talent like crazy. That's where J.J.
Watt. Antonio Brown.
Just throwing that out there. He's 6'3", 305, only had 1 penalty in 2024. He had 367 pass blocks, only allowed 2 pressures. 2 pressures and 367 pass blocks is a 0.5% pressure rate. That's stupid low. I don't give a shit where you went to college. You could go to Grand Canyon University and give up a 0.5%, and I'd be like, that's interesting. 2,571 career snaps, 327 at left guard, 236 at center, and 2,006 at right guard. So there is some positional versatility there. Has a good anchor. Can get to the second level, does a good job to carry his man away from the hole that they're opening for the running back, does a good job picking up blitzes and passed off blocks. He's a good puller. He's good versus counter moves, and he can get a good push in the run game. I saw way too many things that I liked about Addison West and not have him in my top 10. And he also had an 8.30 relative athletic score. So decent, not crazy good, but anything over 8 is pretty solid. All right, Bryant, who's your number 7?
That is where I have Dylan Fairchild.
All right. Simon, number 7?
Number 7, I have Jackson Slater.
Jake, 7?
I have the great mullet, Connor Colby.
Let's go.
7 is where I have Tyler Booker. Bryant, who's your number 6?
Wow.
That's where I have your guy.
You like Tyler Booker, or you don't have my
number? No, the opposite. I really like Tyler Booker.
Yeah,
mine. Oh, all right.
Yeah. That's where I have that Jonah Sav.
Jonah Sav and Aiea? You didn't want to attempt it?
No. I'm a white boy from North Dakota.
All right. Simon, who's your number 6?
This is where I have Luke Kandra. So I really like him a lot, like Tyler said.
He's my number 6 also.
Yep, No, he gave up 8 total pressures and 0 sacks in 447 pass blocking attempts last year. He's an exceptional athlete. He plays with really good technique. And I think he, if you fit him in a team that runs a lot of good outside zone, I think he would excel. I think he plays with a little bit of high pad level, and he's a little susceptible to stunts. And he's not the most powerful run blocker. His athleticism speaks out more than his strength does.
The one thing that I wrote down about him as like a potential con or like a thing that he could improve on was I just said he has to make sure he finds someone to block at the second level when he gets there. All right, Jake, who's your number 6?
Apologies. My dog is being very loud upstairs, so I keep muting my laptop because she just...
I haven't heard your dog one time.
It's because he's laughing at his laptop.
Yeah, I mute my laptop. That's where I have Addison West.
I like it. Like I said, I have Luke Kandra at 6 as well. Bryant, who's your number 5?
Yeah, that's where I have my second guy. That's Miles Frazier out of LSU. Another 6'6 guy. 317 pounds, so a little bit heavier than Tyler Cooper that I talked about earlier, but you'll kind of see some of the similarities. What I really liked about him is he played 50 games in the SEC, started 50 games, I should say, in the SEC for LSU. I mean, you're playing the top competition, right? Alabama every year, Auburn, who are, turn out pass rushers, Georgia. So playing top teams, and he's a physical dude with knockback ability, so he gets his hands on you, he's going to hit you hard. He's really good in the short area and tight, like blocking spaces. So that quick combo, blocking, quick lead blocks. So he's good there. His hand placement is decent, but it'll need some improvement. And same with his anchoring technique. He's good in the tight area space, but once you stretch him a little bit, he seems, he's got them long, that long stride and everything. He seems to struggle a little more, like getting on pulling techniques and reach blocks. So, and I think that has to do with more him being 6'6". He's playing, pretty high. So he plays a little higher than you'd want him to play, and he can kind of get thrown off balance a little bit. But overall, with his nastiness, and ability to knock back in the running game, I feel like he'll pretty much instantly be able to join a team and be a good run-blocking guard. And then he has the ability to be a good pass-blocking guard, too. It's not like he's bad at it. He just needs to improve a little bit more. So I think physical traits that are there and the experience, those 50 games starting in the SEC is like, for me, that's huge. That's one of the most games you'll see a college player have started. So that's a good thing there. And it's not like he has a bunch of injury concerns or anything from that either. So just overall, I think really solid, strong player with a high floor to, higher ceiling probably.
Over 3,200 career snaps for him. Yeah. One of the things that really stood out to me about Miles Frazier, who's also my number 5, is in every aspect of his game, he always keeps his feet chopping. That's something we normally point out with like running backs and stuff. But for an offensive lineman to keep the pile pushing forward, for him to keep his feet chopping, I like that about him too.
Yeah. I forgot to say, he has small hands, but I mean, I don't like that's not something like scouts will knock him for smaller hands, but it's just like whatever. If he gets his grips on you, he's holding you, mm-hmm. he's getting you in tight, and he's got you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So. Simon, who's your number 5?
I have Gray Zabel as my number 5.
Jake, who's your number 5?
Muted.
Dylan Fairchild.
All right. So 5 is where I also have Miles Frazier. Bryant, who's your number 4?
Marcus Simbao. That's kind of a cool story, by the way. But
all right.
Do you want? You can go for it. You want to tell
I can't recall exactly where he's, which African country he's from, but he just works his ass off, essentially, from what I remember reading. So,
oh, okay.
And he came from, I don't want to get into it, because I'll misconstrue it, but people should look it up.
Okay, number 4, right?
Yep.
Tate Rutledge. So last year, he's 6'6", 320. Last year, he gave 7 total pressures and 1 sack on over 300 pass blocking snaps. He plays really light on his feet and really well into the first level of zone run schemes. He's not the most athletic guard, and sometimes he can take bad angles, get into that second level.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
And occasionally he plays with high pad level, mostly probably due to him being 6'6".
All right. Jake, who's your number four?
That's right. Jackson Slater.
All right. My number four is Donovan Jackson from Ohio State. Brian, who's your number three?
Tate Rutledge.
I also have Tate Rutledge at number three. Simon, who's your number three?
Donovan Jackson.
All right. I respect it. Jake, number three?
Luke Kandra.
Nice. Mm. He's going to end up being pretty high on our list. Brian, who's your number two?
Donovan Jackson.
All right. Simon, number two?
Tyler Booker.
All right. Jake, number two?
Tate Rutledge out of Georgia.
Number two is where I have Gray Zabel.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'll hold off. Brian, who's your number one guard?
Tyler Booker.
Simon, number one?
I have Will Campbell.
Oh. Hmm. That's right. Where it came out of. Okay. I was wondering who your number one.
Yeah.
All right. Jake, who's your number one guard?
That's where I have Tyler Booker, who is also my second guard that I chose. Elite arm length for a guard. 34-inch arms for a guard is massive. He is 6'5", 325 pounds, so he's a behemoth of a human being. Uses arm length and exceptional grip strength to being one of the best pass-blocking guards in the nation. He's really a tone setter. When he pulls, he comes with bad intentions. He looked like a heat-seeking missile on some of those plays I was watching, and he was trying to knock their helmet off, and I was like, whoa. The Packers could use another guy on the line with a little bit of edge. I feel like the only guy on the line with an edge is Jenkins, and he's probably our best offensive lineman, right? Maybe not anymore, but he's one or two, right? But I would like another guy who's kind of a tone setter. Just to show that he is still early in the process of his career, he was 2023 all SEC. He had an off season. He really groomed himself up into a really nice pass blocker and a run blocker. In 2024, he was an all American. So he improved just from being all SEC to an all American. He plays a really good pad level for a guy his size, and he knows how to sink his hips to deal with bull rushers, which is something that a lot of young guys struggle with, especially at that size. So being able to deal with bull rushers is something you're going to have to do as a guard, because really bull rushing is what defensive tackles do.
Yeah. So my number one is my other guy, Jonah Savanaea. I have him at number one. You talked about Booker being a massive human. Jonah Savanaea is 6'5", 336 pounds.
Yeah.
He is a gigantic human being. And so he's played 2,418 career snaps, 345 at left tackle, none at left guard or center, but 985 at right guard and 1,057 at right tackle. Now, I do see him as more of a guard than a tackle. He could probably play tackle in a pinch, but maybe not the most athletic guy, but he is massive. And then he played guard at the Senior Bowl, looked really good at guard at the Senior Bowl, and then actually was interviewed recently and said he wants to play guard in the NFL. And looking at him, he had a 9.12 relative athletic score. So that definitely fits in with what the Packers do. With Jonah Savanaea, he did have a 3.1% pressure rate, which is a little high. But again, you're talking about 3% of his pass blocks ended pressure. So that's still a very, very low amount. Only had one penalty in 2024. And With him, he can handle spins but may struggle with speed. That is one of the things that makes me a little bit hesitant to put him at tackle versus putting him at guard. At in 2024, watching his tape, he's good on blitz pickups. He is good initial push, good at turning his back to the hole, has quick choppy feet, which is just something I mentioned about liking about Miles Frazier. And then my favorite thing about him, this comes more from him playing tackle, but he has what I call elite arm chop and plop. Essentially, when guys are pushing at him, he does a great job just chopping their arms down, basically pushing them into the ground and just laying on top of them, essentially taking guys out of the play.
So pancaking.
Well, pancake is like pushing them onto the back. But no, that's how I'm thinking of pancaking. But he literally does it where he just like the guys have their arms reached out and he just goes, bam, and they just straight down. And then he just lays on top of him.
So what kind of plopping does our left tackle do in college, huh?
That's a special kind of plopping.
I went and watched that highlight the other day.
You have to. You have to.
Steve asked, doesn't Sean Ryan wear a bracelet that says kill them all?
I just looked that up. He does.
That's awesome.
I hadn't heard that before. That's pretty good.
I dig it. All righty. So those are our guards. Now, I will say, like I said, we didn't put a limit on you could only put a guy at one position and you had to pick one. This year we did it a little bit differently and gave the free rein to put guys at both positions if they so chose.
Oh, I definitely did not do it that way.
And you can. You could do it however you want. You have carte blanche to put guys where you want them, which can include multiple spots because a guy like Gray Zabel is going to be in both lists for some people. I guarantee it. I can personally guarantee it. So let's go to tackles.
Oh, Brian, spoiler alert.
Yeah, sorry. Jake is probably already in my notebook, but okay, go with tackles. Brian, give me your number 10 tackle.
Yeah, and I did mine separately just so I could, you know, kind of have different rankings. So all right. Number 10 was Emory Jones.
All right. Simon, who's your number 10?
Okay. I was making sure I had the list in front of me. Ozzie Trapillo. That dude's massive, by the way. 6'8".
Yeah.
Like, he's just tall.
Yeah. I like that he had zero penalties this year.
Yeah.
Jake, who's your number 10?
All right, we're going to do this. You ready for this? Arionte Urse.
Arionte.
I think his first name is Arionte.
It's Arionte, yeah.
Ursary.
Close.
Ursary, yep.
I don't feel as bad about the name, but that's my number 10. He's also pretty big. 6'6", 339. That's pretty big.
All right. My number 10 is Jonah Savanaea. So my number one guard, but my number 10 tackle. Brian, who's your number 9?
Ozzie Trapillo.
All right.
Okay. Simon, I switched with Brian. I have Emory Jones at number 9. 21 years old, 6'6", 315. I think he has really good hand placement and strong hands. So once he actually gets his hand on you, he can keep it really well. I think he has a good anchor in his pass blocking skills. But he has pretty heavy feet. So that kind of leaves him susceptible to speed rushes. And can leave him off balance sometimes. And I think he's still a pretty raw prospect. Played pretty much exclusively right tackle at LSU.
Yeah, I gotta be honest, he did not make my list at any position, but that's neither here nor there. Jake, who's your number 9?
A much easier name to say, Josh Conley Jr. out of Oregon.
You mispronounced it.
It's Connerly, bro.
Connerly.
Is it really? Did I write it down wrong?
And make sure you have autocorrect in real life.
Oh, dog, I wrote it down wrong?
Yeah, you did.
That's just hilarious. A human auto.
No, I'm not shitty. I'm not messing with you. Sorry, guys.
It's Connerly. That's one of my guys. All right.
I have messy handwriting. I'm not mad about it. It's fine.
I did that last with the guard, so don't worry.
I did it with one player, too.
It happens, dude. That's how people know the show is live.
My number 9 is Arionte Ursary. Brian, who's your number 8?
That's my first guy. I have Wyatt Millam, 6'6", 317 pounds out of West Virginia. I really enjoyed his tape, to be honest. So he's a top prospect. He was a top prospect out of high school, five-star recruit, like top prospect in West Virginia, and stayed home and went to his West Virginia school there. He's shown steady improvement every year. So as a freshman, he started as a freshman. He allowed 3 sacks as a freshman. After that, he allowed 0 sacks in 31 starts at left tackle. So that's pretty good. I know you're talking about pressures. So in 2023, he had a particularly good season. Guess how many pressures he allowed in 753 snaps?
14.
2.
Yeah, it was so low, Tyler. Come on. It was 8. Either way, 1%.
Right in the middle.
I was averaging.
Yeah, that was actually right in the middle. That's funny. But 8 total pressures in 753 snaps, which is
teamwork. That's
pretty damn good. So he's described as having devastating power. So if he'll hit you and he gets his hands on you first, and I've definitely seen that in his you know, run blocking and stuff. He was, as you know, Jake loves pancakes. He was go watch his tape for a little bit. He's just putting a bunch of people on the ground and he finishes his blocks. Like they run the plays way away from him and you just see him just shoving a damn defensive lineman to the ground and you can see they start to get frustrated. So he's got that little extra grit to him, which I really liked. He's got really good instincts with picking up stunts and twists and, you know, a quick first step and strong anchor. His arm length can allow – so he's got a little bit of shorter arms, so that can allow defenders to get into his chest. Once they get that, they can get close and push him off balance. So he'll have to work on that a little bit. I don't know – well, he can't grow your arms, but he'll just have to work on his anchor and his balance. One other thing that was kind of noted by some scouts, and I did see it a little bit watching the tape that I watched on him. He kind of run blocks with his head down a little bit. Like he's like, okay, I know where the guy is. I'm gonna try to put my head down and just run through him, but that's going to lead to some misses. So he needs to learn to keep his, you know, keep his body square and keep his head up, which for sure NFL coaching is going to fix that. Other than that, I really liked him. I've been thinking about this and I wouldn't be surprised if one of these top, like Gray Zabel, for example, if he fell to Green Bay in round 2 and they didn't think he'd be there, I wouldn't be completely shocked or out of the realm of possibilities if Green Bay took a left tackle and did look to move on from Rashid Walker, because he's going to get paid next year. And with the other people they've paid, he might not, you know, they might look to either replace him or trade him. So
they got to pay that mom too, so.
Yeah.
That's what I was just going to say. We had this conversation last week when we brought up Aaron Banks, that they could be in a position to have to choose between Walker and Tom, and they're going to choose that Tom.
They're
going to
choose Tom, 100%.
100%. And that's why I'm saying,
offensive lineman.
If one of these linemen that we don't expect to be there somehow falls and they're there, I wouldn't be shocked if we took one of them and was like, okay, well, this wasn't our original plan, but this, you know, this is our best player available at a position of need in the near future.
Yeah, for sure. Wyatt Millam's still going to come up on my list, but just while we're on the conversation of him, you brought up his anchoring and you brought up his strength. In my notes, I literally wrote down that he's strong enough to not really need to anchor. Yeah. Obviously, that's going to be different in the NFL when you're facing NFL-level talent, but the couple games of his that I watched, like he didn't like have to anchor at all. Like he was strong enough to be able to keep guys blocked while being upright.
Yeah. Did you watch him just throw a bunch of people to the ground? I enjoyed it. So.
In 2024, he had 356 pass blocks and only allowed 6 pressures. It's a 1.7% pressure rate. So, big fan of Wyatt Millam. He's still to come in my list. Simon, who's your number 8?
Millam just missed my tackle list. Number 8, I have Anthony Belton.
He was my first guy off. Jake, who's your number 8?
So, let's just show this real quick. Jonah Savanaea.
Atta
boy. Oh, man.
I only heard it said like 6 times, so I had a little
cheat. A bunch of practice runs. Number 8 is where I have Armon Membu.
Ooh.
Oh, I can't wait to say that name.
Wow.
You got another practice run. You got to hear somebody else say it. Ryan, who's your number 7?
My number 7 is Ariante Ursay.
Ursary.
I'm sorry. I'm just surprised you're so low on Membu.
I am too.
I got other guys coming up. Simon, who's your number 7?
Number 7, I have Charles Grant.
All right. Jake, who's your number 7?
Wyatt Mullen.
Number 7 is also where I have Wyatt Millen. All right. Number 6.
Josh Connerly.
All right. well stated. Steve said he totally redeemed yourself for nailing 7.
Not so fast. There's one more name Simon, that I have to hurdle.
Simon, who's your number 7?
Number 6.
Yeah.
6. Yeah, sorry, 6.
Cameron Williams.
All right. Jake, number 6.
I have the same guy. Did you know that before this year, he was 369 pounds?
Golly.
Damn. You know, beast. Defensive line.
The coaches told him that he had to lose weight to deal with the SEC quickness. 369 pounds, dude. That is massive, dude. Guy's wearing 6X t-shirts, bro.
He had to lay off the freaking cornbread and grits down in the South.
His coaches told him to stop making so many pancakes.
He's like, Coach, I had 69 of them in high school. Number 6 is I have Joshua Gray. He's a guy that I think a lot of people are going to have as a guard, but I like him at tackle. All right. Bryant, getting into top 5 tackles, who's your number 5?
That's where I have Gray Zabel.
Me too. Steve said, I got to say, I respect the work fellows. Grinding offensive line tape is a labor of love that I do not possess. I got to tell you, it's a relief when you finish the offensive line rankings.
Yeah, I will say I'm looking forward to next week.
Linebackers is better. I'm on to edges now because that's what we're doing in 2 weeks. And that's still better to watch because you get to watch, you know, sacks and pressures and stuff. But yeah, watching offensive line tape is it's a grind. It's for sure a grind.
Yeah, it's not like that's why we get excited about pancakes, I guess, when you're watching offensive line
tape. It makes you hungry.
Makes you so excited to go look at high school pancakes. Gotta respect the grind.
Really a big fan of Rasheed Walker highlights.
There's only one highlight.
Just the one.
The only highlight I watched, and that was everything I needed to know.
Yeah. That was everything. Yeah. All right. Simon, who's your number 5 tackle?
This is where I have Ariontari Ursary. So he's 6'6", 330. He has a really good first step, and he's a plus run blocker in the zone blocking scheme. Super impressive athleticism. Absolutely demolished the combine. He's light on his feet, and he holds a solid anchor. He allowed 1 sack and 12 total pressures last year. Sometimes he can struggle with a little bit of mirroring his opponent and a little bit in stunts.
All right, Jake, who's your number 5?
This is where I have Gray Zabel out of North Dakota State. 6'5", 316. Really, really hard worker. Definitely the kind of guy that you're happy to draft. He's a great athlete. He was a 3-sport athlete in high school. Enter the high school jokes. He was a first-team All-American in 2024. He has 41 career starts at 4 different positions. You can't tell me that doesn't sound like a Green Bay Packer right there, dude. Come on now. Yep. They're going to draft this guy and solve 4 depth position problems to one guy. I love this guy. Positional versatility, obviously. He's a great combo blocker, shows quick, urgent feet. He's great at walling off linebackers, great in space, good puller, really good hips and hands. When he gets his hands on you, you're not really moving, and he's really good at readjusting his hands if he does get beat. So, Gray Zabel, Green Bay Packer.
All right. I don't think he's number 5. He's already wearing green and yellow. So.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Brian, who's your number 4?
Josh Simmons.
Hey, my number 4 also. I also have Josh Simmons, number 4. Simon, who's your number 4?
Josh Connerly.
All right. Jake, number 4?
I'm not even saying his name. Just say his name.
Armand Membu.
Yeah, yeah. Membu. I know.
Membu.
Armand Membu. Steve said 6'5", 316. Sounds like a prototype.
Yeah. Perfect size.
All right. Top 3. Brian, who's your number 3 tackle?
That's where I have Kelvin Banks Jr.
Me too. Nice. We're on a roll.
Our tackles are pretty close, Tyler.
Simon, who's your number 3?
I have Josh Simmons.
All right. Jake, who's your number 3?
Kelvin Banks Jr.
Nicely done. Nicely done, fellas. Top two.
this is where
dragging it down.
This is where I have my second guy, Armin Membau. 6'4", 332 pounds out of Missouri. And watching his tape, his NFL comparison should make all of you excited. And
Zach Tom.
Rasheed Walker. Kind of a little bit. It was Zach Tom.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah. How the NFL draft combine compared to Zach Tom. So, they couldn't go wrong with drafting another Zach Tom, right? A little bit smaller, but he just wins with, you know, strength, technique. So, 30 starts at right tackle in the SEC, plays with quickness and elite body control. He's strong and delivers his first good pop to create the space. His footwork and strength combination make him a sticky blocker. So, once he gets on you, you're not, you know, it's hard to get away from him. He will struggle with the long arm pushers, which I think even if you think about Zach Tom, he struggles with that a little bit, but he just doesn't get beat by very often because he knows how to be prepared for it, right? So if you get a long arm rusher, a quick long arm rusher, he'll struggle a little bit. It will be interesting to see if people – I mean, we got Zach Tom in the fifth round. It'll be interesting to see if people overlook his traits and his ability to play the game for his size again. But I don't think that will be as much as it was with Zach Tom. I love the fact that we did a bunch of mock drafts and we had Zach Tom coming to us and we ended up with him. And now he's one of our, we're about to pay him as the highest paid right tackle in the NFL.
We got like a 10% hit rate.
Yeah. So,
That's not that bad.
Yeah.
That's probably generous.
So yeah. Other than that, I think he just needs to add a little bit more strength to become more of a, like a better drive blocker. But he's just really good at mirroring his feet and his hands together and just getting in really good position. This comes down to it once again that, yeah, maybe he doesn't have the athletic freak stature, but he has the football knowledge, technique, and ability to play the position. And unfortunately, sometimes that gets overlooked. And even Green Bay does that with their obsession with RAS scores out of the draft. But then a bunch of the free agents that we sign, their RAS score is like 6, and they end up being the best players on our team. Like Xavier McKinney's RAS score was like a 6 or 5. Same with Josh Jacobs, was pretty low, I'm pretty sure, if I'm not mistaken. So
Xavier is triple, third round. Got it.
Yeah.
Nope.
That one's too low, dude.
No. What's going
to
happen?
The whole show to get a Restrepo comment. I love that.
He's going to go to another team, do well, and then...
Then we'll sign.
Then he's going to sign with the Green Bay Packers.
As long as it's not in our division, I'll be okay with it. Yeah,
so he'll be a Detroit Lion watch.
Fuck off.
Really like Armin Membau. So,
Steve, can I add in real quick? The show earlier, did anyone rank Jonah Monheim from USC? A bunch of us had him on our center lists.
Yeah. Yep. I had him second.
I think he was my third ranked center.
Yeah, let me piggyback off Brian real quick. What I wrote down about him, holy cow. He made the 2023 Bruce Feldman freak list. When we reported, he only had 18% body fat. His 10-yard time was 1.63. His 20-yard time was 2.8. He had a vertical jump of 32 inches, and he squatted 600 pounds.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. I shouldn't have. Yeah. He's just so
– freak athlete.
All right. Simon, who's your number three tackle?
Yeah. Number two?
Yep.
I'm on number two.
All right, Jake, who's your number two?
That's right. I have Josh Simmons out of Ohio State. 6'5", 310. Only reason I don't have him number one, I have to do this as a full disclaimer, is because of the injury that he got last year. He's going to be coming into the year with an injury. He plays both tackle spots at an elite level, so that's something that I really took into consideration here, is you can kind of put him on either side, which is not a skill that everybody possesses. Usually, if you're good at left tackle, you're going to be good at right tackle, but not the other way around. He has an elite kick slide game. Very good hands. He earned a lot of respect in making all Big Ten third team, only playing 6 games. He played 6 games and made all Big Ten third team. That is incredible. Because of the injury, he could be great value later in the draft with not knowing his status coming into the season. He could be really, really good. He rarely gets beat around the corner with his elite foot speed. He has devastating power punch, consistently lands meaningful contact. He has really good spatial awareness, always keeping his head on a swivel, looking for work. He's good at diagnosing stunts, and he has a great anchor against the bull rush. Just a really, really good player. The injury history does scare me a little bit, I will say. If he was fully healthy, he probably would have been first team all Big Ten, and he'd be number one on my list.
So my thing with Josh Simmons, you brought up that he rarely gets beat around the outside. Something that I wrote down that I noticed about him is that he does a really good job of keeping defenders at arm's reach with just one hand.
Yeah.
Guys try to chop his hand down. He does a really good job of getting the other hand then on them.
Mm-hmm.
That was something that I noticed with him, just to keep defenders at bay by not allowing both of his arms to be chopped down and then get off balance, but by just keeping one hand off, is able to keep guys at bay. My number two is my first guy, Josh Connerly, and my number one guy are both my two guys, and I have them at their respective spots in my rankings because I noticed really distinct things about them that stood out to me. And for Josh Connerly, my distinct thing about him is in the screen game, he does this thing where he kind of just one-arm shoves the guy that he's actually, like, letting through to get to the quarterback. And it's just one less step closer that the rusher can get to the quarterback. And what I see it as is an opportunity for fewer bat downs. So that's something like that. Where the Packers are going to be running, like, obviously a lot of screens with Josh Jacobs, or using Jaden Reed in the wide receiver screen game, Dontavian Wicks in the wide receiver screen game. Having it so that there's fewer pass rushers to potentially break those up, that is something that I saw as important. Also, this is something I brought up also with Wyatt Millen, but it's almost hard to tell if he's really good at anchoring or if he's just really good just keeping guys at bay without even having to get into his anchor. Like, if he's just that strong that he doesn't have to, you know, curl up very often, that he doesn't have to plant his feet and bend very often. But he's good to the second level. He bumps the edge rushers off their pursuits, like I brought up in the screen game. Turns us back to the hole. He's a good puller. 523 pass blocks, only allowed 9 pressures. That's a 1.7 pressure rate, so that's pretty low. 6'4", 315 is maybe a little short for a tackle. So I can understand, you know, maybe trying him at guard if he were to be drafted. But 1,975 career snaps, all of them at left tackle. So, again, if we're looking at potentially replacing Rashid Walker next year, I would be a big fan of Josh Connerly. All right. Number one tackles. Wrap it up. Brian, who's your number one?
Will Campbell.
Simon, number one.
I didn't do both, so Will Campbell ended up on my guard list. My number one is Kelvin Banks.
All right. Ooh. Jake, who's your number one?
Will Campbell.
Mine too.
Will Campbell.
And that's my other guy. So Will Campbell, 6'6", 323. There's a little bit more prototypical tackle size. Had a 3.2 pressure rate. It's a little high, and 9 penalties is a little high. But 2,553 career snaps, all at left tackle. And he is an absolute mauler in the run game.
Yeah.
He has a great anchor, has good footwork in the pass game. He's a good puller. He's good at getting in the front of screens. So I just brought up, you know, Connerly potentially benefiting in the screen game. You can get Will Campbell out in front of the screen game and, like, also in wide runs as well. Handles stunts well. And my biggest thing on Will Campbell, my big thing that stood out to me, is he does a really good job of staying over his feet. So for me, noticing this, it makes him have really good lateral movement. He has a good anchor, and then he transitioned out of his anchor back into his regular stance versus counter moves very, very well. So if a guy's going to try to bull rush him, he can get into his anchor, and then if a guy's going to try to spin, he is really good at countering that. That was the thing that made me put him up at number one over a guy like Kelvin Banks or Josh Connerly. Big, big fan of Will Campbell. If he can just get those penalties down a little bit, he could be our left tackle of the future.
Yeah, the thing that I went with a lot, I like respect, players that get respect. And the thing about Will Campbell is LSU does this thing where they give out this number 7 patch, which is usually given to the best playmaker in Louisiana. And he got that as a left tackle, which is insane to me. He also was starting as a freshman. So immediately when you're starting as a freshman and you earn, like, the respect of your teammates and you get something like a number 7 patch for LSU, which is obviously historic to them. That's impressive, and I'm going to be watching a little bit more closely.
Starting as a freshman at LSU is enough just on its own.
Yeah, I agree.
All righty, so there you have it. In under an hour, we got all of our offensive linemen out there. I promise that watching offensive line tape is hard, but it's a necessary thing. We'll have our offensive line stuff published here in the next couple of days. Steve said I would love to see the Packers lean into a powerful run-blocking unit. Aaron Banks helps lean into it like Detroit did, and it paid dividends for them. Their running game is great, as well as their passing game, just their offense in general, but we'll see how that is without Ben Johnson. Other than that, next week Tuesday is going to be linebackers, so a little bit more of an interesting position, a lot more to go over with linebackers, so that's on its own. Other than that, Jake and I will be back tomorrow to talk a bunch of basketball, our last show without baseball, which is kind of crazy, but
yeah.
So we'll be talking Badgers and Bucks tomorrow, so join us for that, and then we will see Simon and Bryant. We will see you guys next Tuesday. Thank you guys for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
Go Pack, go.